Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Analytics Neat. I'm your host, Bill Bruno. For those of you that might be new here, Analytics Neat is a weekly podcast. It comes out every Monday. I tend to cover media, marketing, analytics, technology, and data, and I do it in a short format to try to make it something easy for you to digest and then move on with your day. I also love interacting with all of you, so you can reach out to me directly on Twitter, at Bill Bruno, using the hashtag AnalyticsNeat. You can also give the podcast a follow, at AnalyticsNeat on Twitter as well. So if you have any ideas, topics, questions, concerns, hit me up, and I'd love to chat. And whether you're an avid listener of the podcast or you're new here and you like what you happen to be hearing, then please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you prefer. If I'm not on a platform that you prefer to listen to, let me know and we'll try to figure that one out too. So happy holidays to everybody. I hope that if you celebrate Hanukkah, that it was a wonderful Hanukkah for you. Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Festivus, or whatever it is that you celebrate. I support everything. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe and healthy. Make sure you unplug a little bit over these next couple of weeks and enjoy some downtime if you can. Let's hopefully ring in a new year where we hopefully put the pandemic to bed, give it a stone cold stunner and send it on its way and determine what our new normal is. And don't forget to continue to wear a damn mask. I might actually keep my masks for flights after all this is over anyways, because I'm kind of enjoying not getting all these random illnesses and head colds and everything that I would get if I was traveling a bunch for work. So I might actually just wear them. I mean, I bought some fun ones, and so I might as well keep using them after all this is over. I'd be curious to see how many of you are also considering the same thing, because I think being on those airplanes in the first place, you always pick up something, especially if you're on multiple airplanes a week. So that's definitely going to be in my plan, I think. And so for this week on the pod, normally I do a best of show, and I've decided to just work straight through. I'm here for the Neaters. I want to make sure I'm bringing you new content. You guys have been fantastic to me all year with the comments, the reviews, the topic submissions, sharing it with your friends. Really appreciate everything that everyone has done to support the podcast. So thank you so much. And as part of my thank you, I'm just going to give you content all the way through the new year as best as I can. So for this week, we've got a few fun topics on the undercard, and then we'll jump into a main event that's a little bit forward-thinking to 2021. Everybody always has an article, so why can't I have a view into 2021 as well? So let's go ahead and jump right in. If you haven't seen this in the news, Stanford Medicine was all over the news. There was protests, articles, opinion pieces, so on and so forth, all around the fact that Stanford Medicine was apparently prioritizing fancy senior faculty over frontline workers and residents of their program. And when they were pressed with why, they blamed a bad algorithm. And this was shared with me from a fellow Neater, and it's been making a lot of noise all over the internet. Several other folks had brought it to my attention as well, because everybody knows that I love to pick on artificial intelligence. And it's no surprise, there's going to be a lot of this specifically around the vaccine and who's going to get it when and who's being prioritized over who. And it's understandable. There are a lot of people. I wish I could say all people want the vaccine, but we know that there are people out there that spent their time in college or university putting God knows what into their bodies, and now they're worried about a vaccine. But I digress. I will be getting the vaccine. I will take as much vaccine as they'd like to give me so we can get back to a normal life. But I do think that this brings a larger point. And when I was discussing this with my buddy, with the rise of artificial intelligence comes a simple scapegoat with that. And we're definitely going to see more of this. It's not just going to be related to the vaccine. I definitely would have liked to have demanded Stanford to show us in live functioning form this poorly functioning algorithm running against the list of people in their organization. Because we would most likely only be shown a spreadsheet with a random number generator for the doses that were left after all the supposed important rich people at Stanford had gotten theirs. Allegedly, please don't sue me. I'm not looking to start the new year with a lawsuit, but I do think this does bring a larger issue to play here, is that when you have these algorithms, you're starting to rely more and more on AI. You're going to see more and more organizations try to use that as a scapegoat. Now, CPRA in the US tries to block that. You have to prove why decisions are being made. GDPR does the same, so on and so forth. But organizations need to realize that if you're going to turn artificial intelligence on, whether that's something you're building in-house or something you're trusting a vendor with doing for you, that is your fault. You own it. You control it. What it does for your consumers, your patients, or otherwise is on you. Switching gears, let's talk a little bit about OTT subscriptions.
And I did finish all of the Star Wars rewatching in chronological order, and now I'm going to jump into some of the cartoon series that were out there as well, because why the heck not? What else am I going to be doing at night or over the weekends over these next few weeks, especially now that it's starting to get cold and awful in winter and everything else that comes with that? I'm not one to complain about winter. I mean, I live in Chicago. Shouldn't be allowed to complain about that. But I do like to hibernate, so this just will continue for me. But following a launch in November of 2019, Disney Plus is now on track to surpass $4 billion in U.S. subscription revenues by 2022. What a launch that is. This is actually starting to encroach, as a result, Disney on Netflix's share of the market as well by 2022. So as of this year, as of right now, Disney Plus represents about 27% of Disney's subscription revenues, with Hulu accounting for 67.6% of the revenue and ESPN making up 5.8%, because ESPN is biased and they suck. Now, Disney Plus combined with Hulu will cement Disney as the number two streaming player in subscription revenues this year, and those revenues are projected to be basically equal with Netflix by 2022. So it's going to be a heck of a 2021 for them. The second full year of the platform is the way to look at that, and that is one heck of a growth trajectory given everything else that's going on. But I also think this is a bit of a success story for other streaming services to look at. And I'm pointing at you, HBO, because your HBO Max launch is the worst. But this gives you an idea of how to balance content, some personalization and analytics, and how to manage and understand what's most popular across your platform so you can continue to invest in it. And finally, that brings us to the last topic for this week's undercard. Perhaps I should call this the Boohoo Award. But with Apple's privacy changes for their apps live now in the App Store, it was only a matter of time before people responded or reacted negatively or started putting opinion pieces out there due to their unrest around Apple presenting consumers with the choice of opting in or opting out and making them aware of what's being captured and what's not. But who is it? We're entering Royal Rumble season. That's in January, one of my favorite events, if not my favorite event of all time. So who's it going to be? Who's entering the ring next? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Wait, that's Facebook's music. Facebook, of all people, of all organizations, has responded with a ton of hate ads. In standing up to Apple for small business everywhere is sort of their stance. And they've put all kinds of newspaper ads out. They have a big headline: we're standing up to Apple for small businesses everywhere. They're just going to beat that drum all day. They talk about the number of small businesses. They mention that 44% of small to medium businesses started or increased their usage of personalized ads on social media during the pandemic, according to a Deloitte study, blah, blah, blah. Average small business advertiser stands to see a cut of over 60% in their sales for every dollar they spend. They go on and on and on and on and on. And the ads continued throughout this past week. And I am all for supporting small business, but I am not for sitting here with Facebook and letting them throw stones in the proverbial glass house. Apple has responded on their 9to5 Mac website. And they said that users should know when their data is being collected and shared across other apps and websites, and they should have the choice to allow that or not. App tracking transparency in iOS 14 does not require Facebook to change its approach to tracking users and creating targeted advertising. It simply requires they give users a choice, end quote from Mac. This is not going anywhere. This is going to be entertaining. We need something to sit back with some popcorn and watch, and so let's see the fireworks that come between these two organizations, but this is definitely a pot and kettle situation, am I right? I mean, Facebook has been all over the news in these past few years for poor management of their data, and they have the nerve to say that you're hurting our ad business by informing users of a choice that they should have? I mean, come on. It's not a good look. And maybe if this industry had focused more on education, transparency, and stewardship, and I'm referring to the advertising industry, then we wouldn't have to take away the toys or turn this car around and end the field trip, right? We probably wouldn't be at this point if people and organizations were more upfront and more transparent about what was being captured, why it's being used, so on and so forth. And this does not stop any of the people from placing ads via Facebook. It does limit who's going to see personalized ads. It does limit the amount of data being captured about individuals that could go into some of the targeting within Facebook. And naturally, Apple is trying to throw jabs at Facebook, and Facebook's going to try to throw jabs at Apple. Amazon's going to do the same. Google's going to do the same. Because guess what? They all want you to come to them, and they all want to be able to say that our ad network and our personalization capabilities reign supreme. At the end of the day, that's what this is. These are the advertising giants, all upset that somebody's come into their sandbox and started to take their toys, and they're trying to rush to a solution that's going to give them the best possible offering so they can continue to drive ad revenue on their platforms, because that's what they all live and die by. Don't forget that. But transparency is important. There's no way around it. But education is the path to curing this and making people aware of what works and what doesn't and how data is used and where it's stored. These are all things that should have been done for years. On this podcast alone, I've been saying this. This has been a topic of conversation. And if you look around the industry, not a whole lot's been done about that. So that wraps up this week's feisty undercard. Let's go ahead and jump into the main event. I just wanted to look ahead a little bit, and I think there are a few things that every organization needs to be conversing about into 2021. I know a lot of organizations are probably in the middle of strategy now or wrapping some strategy up or perhaps planning on tackling that when they get back in the offices in January. But these are things, in my opinion, that better be on your list to address in 2021. I try to avoid saying things like you must do this or you must do that, because nobody likes to be bossed around, and I don't like to exaggerate it. But these are three things that, in my opinion, if they are not on the docket and if you are not already talking about these things, then you are not paying attention at all to the industry and which way the wind is blowing. And I think first and foremost, in the US, CPRA is just the beginning as an amendment to CCPA. GDPR has driven a larger movement around the globe, and rightfully so. Privacy, data compliance, and being a good steward of customer data must be a focus. And that is because here in the US, most likely under this new administration, you're going to see even more privacy laws come out. And a lot of this uproar around Apple and what they've done is probably going to drive some of that conversation as well, because it's going to require a global look at what we're doing across the US as an example. But if you don't know where your customer data is living, in which systems, and what data you're sending where, and which third parties have access to that data, then that's a problem. This needs to include auditing your existing data flows to third parties, your contracts to understand liabilities, or lack thereof with your web analytics vendors. Trust me, go look. And it's boring. I get it, right? Audits and data flows and all of that from a marketing perspective, you just don't want to do it. You just want to do the fun stuff. But that fun stuff's going to stop real quickly if you're not taking a close look at all of the governance and compliance and making sure that you know exactly what you're capturing about your consumers, in which solutions, in which environments, who has access to that, how long it's stored, so on and so forth. So do yourselves a favor and consider that priority number one. The second thing that I think you need to look at is owning identity as a first-party solution to your business, and not being beholden to sending it to a third-party platform for them to own it, control it, and be in charge of it. As an organization, you have to manage the identity of your consumers. You have to own it. You have to control it. It has to be within your environment, and you have to then selectively choose what to share with solutions outside of your firewall. This definitely includes working through concepts such as building an identity graph, building an approach to identity verification, digital fraud, risk, identity fraud, account takeovers, so on and so forth. All of that's rooted in data, and all of it is rooted in your ability to build an identity graph and manage the identity of users throughout the various touch points of your business, both online and offline. And finally, build a partnership and a relationship between business and technology departments. I honestly could not tell you how many times I have conversed with either fellow NEETers or organizations in the last few months where there's still this argumentative relationship between the two organizations. And I've even heard consulting firms that I've spoken to speak disparagingly about it as well. And it has to stop. You can't build an enterprise business intelligence, business analytics function without a partnership with technology. It's just not possible. And if you want to be a good steward of data and you want to own identity and you want to do all the things that the analysts are writing about as well, then you need to be on the forefront of bridging this gap between those two departments and bring them together on a common vision and incorporate people into the conversation. You can either avoid the pain and not benefit long term, or you can face that pain, pull off the band-aid, and start moving in a positive direction. And I was going to end it there with three, but I'm going to throw in a bonus, Jonas, from earlier in this episode, a theme that I think is intrinsically important. Your tag-based third-party digital systems cannot be the backbone for your artificial intelligence unless your hope is to get mentioned on this podcast in the racist robot section. I'm just going to leave you with that. And you now have four things to include on the docket in your digital transformation strategy discussions in order to ensure that you do see some sort of success in 2021 while still protecting your business as well, given the challenges that we have around the industry today. But for now, we'll go ahead and wrap up this week's episode of Analytics Neat. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite platform of choice. Share it with a friend or two this week if you think about it. Thank you so much for doing that. We'll be back again next Monday with another new episode. And until then, stay safe and wear a damn mask.